Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
We do this every Friday when we check in and find out what is happening with the public humanities. It is our Ideas Matter, checking in with the public humanities segment, and our chance to check in with humanities councils throughout our seven-state area to discuss important ideas and why they do indeed matter. This morning, we spotlight New York humanities and get seasonal and talk about their vampires, mummies, and Frankenstein oh my, spooky humanities projects across New York State. And with us, we have some really incredible guests. Erica Sanger is Director of Education at the Albany Institute of History and Art and has over 25 years of museum experience from New York to North Carolina. And she has organized many programs, including The Mystery of the Albany Mummies. And we'll get to that in a second. But thank you very much for being with us, Erica.
Thanks, Joe.
Also joining us, Tim Madigan, Associate Professor of Philosophy at St. John Fisher College in Rochester, New York, and Director of its Irish Studies Program. He is a speaker in the humanities for the New York Council for the Humanities and a certified mad doctor from the Monster Bash University. We'll explain that in a moment. And Ann Field of our of the Friends of the Town of Pelham Library is co-organizer of Pelham Reads Frankenstein, a community-wide reading festival around Mary Shelley's 19th century classic novel, exploring questions that still haunt us today. What are the proper boundaries of science and technology? How does society treat those it doesn't understand? How are creators, parents, writers, artists responsible for their creations? A lot to talk about, and we welcome you to the program as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for being with us. So, you know, it's an interesting thing that we're looking at that the humanities has put in these programs of why do we like to be scared and why do we seek out experiences that ultimately spook us? And we'll kind of go around the table here and, talk a little bit about that and, start with mummies and, here in the studio with Erica.
I think there's a thing about mummies that is deeply embedded in our society that has to do with the idea of living on into the next world. Ideas that that's so gross, I want to know more. It's an attraction-repulsion thing. The idea of reviving the dead and living on into the future, wanting our name and our memories to live on. It's a fascination with things that relate to people who are just like us, but lived thousands of years ago. So,
and I mean, for you at the museum,
yes,
the mummies are always, I mean, that's the big, that's a big attraction.
It is. It's one of our biggest attractions. We're now educating the fifth generation of Albany families about mummies and ancient Egypt and ancient Egyptian art and culture through the mummies. And they're in a wonderful new installation. We've borrowed, you know, we have a coffin and the mummy body. We've borrowed the top of the coffin from a museum in Vienna and the middle part of the coffin from the British Museum in London. So we have these fabulous objects from all over the world for people to come see.
It takes a village to make
a
mummy.
It does, it does.
Tim Madigan, again, Associate Professor of Philosophy at St. John Fisher College, and you are taking part in this Irish Vampire Conference. So how did this all come to be?
Well, I've always had a great love of monsters, and you mentioned I'm a certified mad doctor. I go to an event called the Monster Bash every year outside of Pittsburgh, where people love to watch old monster movies. And I was trying to think how I could possibly combine this with my new role as head of Irish Studies. And when I was in Dublin last summer at Trinity College there, I saw a marker saying that Bram Stoker, the author of Dracula, had studied at Trinity. And I thought, well, now there's a great opportunity to bring two of my loves together. And I just noticed, by the way, they're having a big event in Dublin, a three-day event, Bram Stoker Festival. So we're not the only ones extolling the virtues of Irish vampires.
So what happens at the Irish Vampire Conference?
Well, we're going to be talking about Bram Stoker himself and the role of growing up in Ireland, how that influenced his view of the other, the way that the Irish were often treated as other beings, in a sense, in England. And we're also going to be looking at related topics. I have a colleague in biology, for example, who's going to be doing a talk about the biology of vampires, which I have no idea what he's going to say, but it sounds very interesting.
Absolutely. And then let's talk about Pelham Reads Frankenstein and Anne of the Friends of the Town of Pelham Library. You have helped organize this reading of Frankenstein. Why do you think it's important for a community to read a book such as this?
Well, first of all, the whole thing started as our first sort of community reads enterprise. We decided that we wanted to explore a theme and a story through literature as well as through art and film, something that would involve all the three major sort of cultural institutions in our town here, which is library, the Pelham Art Center, and the Picture House. So we wanted to find a book that would be appropriate for, say, pretty much all ages, and that would deal in important themes and involved an important work of literature. So we came upon Frankenstein. It was actually really lucky timing that it also ended up being coming right up on Halloween also. So we have events at the library, including we have an upcoming author's talk by the author of a book called Frankenstein's Cat, which looks at biotechnology and animals. And we had a day at the library with a bunch of different events, including the demonstration of how to do a zombie bite done by a professional horror makeup artist. We're also going to have a number of other events, including an all-day Frankenstein Film Festival at the Picture House. That's going to be our last event, with everything from the classic to Young Frankenstein and Rocky Horror Picture Show.
So all good stuff. What is it, do you think, Tim, about, I mean, let's talk about vampires in particular, but just this whole idea of Frankenstein and Dracula and even mummies that you think continues to resonate, that we are as fascinated about this now as we were when Frankenstein was first published?
Well, as you can see, the common theme with all of these and also with zombies is that the grave is not the final resting place. This idea, these are all so-called undead beings that rise out of the grave and continue to haunt us. And I suspect it's because death remains the great unknown. We all have different views and theories about what happens to us, if anything, after our life comes to an end. But all of these stories in different ways haunt us because they confront us with this great fear of the unknown.
And Erica, whether it's mummies or whether it's vampires, it's the stuff that scares us.
It is the stuff that scares us, and you know,
but we like it. We seek
do,
it out.
We do. Yeah. And Hollywood was really helpful because the birth of Hollywood coincided with the finding of, you know, the King Tut mummy, and there's this great 1917 Theda Barrow silent movie, and then the 1932 horror movie, the starring Boris Karloff, that really permeated our culture with the idea of the mummy being scary and coming back to life and haunting the people into the future.
When you think of this as we'll start with you, Erica, and then we'll move our way through. But when you think of this as a humanities project and what you gain for the museum of bringing people in, how does this help?
It sheds light on what we as a Western culture are fascinated about ancient Egypt. It helps us explain archaeological processes and how archaeologists investigate ancient Egypt, how they put things together. On October 27th, Nick Reeves, who's a curator at the Metropolitan, will come and talk about how he was able to piece together different parts of the Book of the Dead of a man named Amenhotep, and how he went across collections around the world to kind of put together this puzzle. And it's those humanities themes that help us share the fascination with ancient Egypt with our audiences.
And how do you put it into context for the museum as a whole? Because obviously that alone can bring people in. You have a wonderful lecture series, and much of it has to do with mummies. And so once you have that, then how do you make the next step and say, okay, well, here are also the other wonderful things that this institution provides?
Yeah, this coming year, from now until the first week of June, we are all mummies all the time. But at the same time, we hope that when people come in to see the mummies, there's a great new exhibition of contemporary art on our third floor called Big and Bold, which is art by contemporary artists from the last 10 years in a fabulously newly renovated Lansing Gallery. And so if we hope that we can get them in to see the mummies, that it becomes an entry point to see the rest of the collection and the Albany Institute as a whole.
And by having an Irish vampire conference, Tim, what's the overall goal, obviously, than just having some fun?
Well, the main goal is to bring attention to the new Irish Studies program that we have here, and to learn about the author of one of the most famous books of all time. But the related notion is to show how the humanities are important. I mean, everyone knows about Dracula, but the question remains, why is this particular story almost literally immortal? I see there's a new TV series starting next week as well with the, appropriately enough, the Irish actor John Rhys-Meyers.
Yes.
On Dracula. So we're going to be exploring why this story lives on.
Yeah, and that show looks great, I have to say.
It does.
It really does look great. And I can't wait to see it. And again, that Irish connection and Irish studies of looking at an aspect of this that perhaps we didn't consider.
Yeah, and setting it in the context of the time, it was written in 1897 when a lot of issues like Irish Home Rule were being talked about, and Bram Stoker in some ways uses the novel to deal with this. So it's, again, a way to use something people are already interested in, a famous story, to help them to learn about some aspects of history that they might not be aware of.
And I assume, Anne, that this is not the first big read that you have had, right?
Oh, this is our inaugural big read.
This is the first one. Well,
this
wonderful.
This is the first one, and we decided to do it, as I said, not just as a reading a piece of literature, but looking at a theme and looking at how it's interpreted through different art forms. So I have to say, one of the most amazing things about the book Frankenstein is that it really still is scary, even though, you know, it was written in the early 19th century and by an 18-year-old, if I may add. It still has the power to be frightening, just as the original Dracula is a very scary book. I think that says something about the power of the literature itself and the power of the message that the book has. You know, it actually is especially appropriate today as it happens. There's two reasons. First of all, the question of the relationship between science and technology, and what is the appropriate boundaries that we should ethically take,
right,
is very relevant today. And also, there's just a general zeitgeist, particularly today, I think, where people are sort of sitting on the edge of their seats waiting for the end of the world, sort of. I think that's why there's so many horror movies out today, so many zombie movies, so much fascination with this stuff. So it all ends up being extremely relevant for today. Our next Pelham Reads will be in another 2 years, and I have no idea what we'll do, but you know there's a good chance we'll do Dracula.
Count me in.
You know, Tim, was it? I think it was you that said earlier that we, you know, it's our fascination with death as a whole. I mean, we're not overly. It's a mysterious concept, so these stories come to fill a void of how we feel about death and a life beyond.
Well, and as remember, I'm a professor of philosophy, so I have to wax philosophical. And I should mention Aristotle and his concept of catharsis, which is a kind of releasing of feelings that terrorize us. So often, art allows us to confront our fears in a harmless way. The chills that we receive when Dracula rises from the grave or Frankenstein monster is attacking might be a healthy way for us to deal with these constant dread of the unknown of what happens to us after we die.
Yeah, I think if you sort of talk to psychologists, they would say it's a safe way to deal with these fears. It's a way that's safe and protected.
And Erica, I mean, you think do we know when we started to think of mummies not as something completely accepted, but something as spooky?
Yeah, I think that there's an aversion to disturbing the dead that goes across all cultures. And in going back to ancient Egypt, just the curse of disturbing a tomb was indifferent to whether it was for tomb robbers or archaeologists. Mm. So the curse on the tombs of the pyramids at Giza says that the gods will make evil upon them and the crocodiles will destroy them in the water and the snakes will destroy them on land. And so it creates a fear in us that goes back to 3,000 years ago about disturbing the dead. And I think that's where one of the fears comes from.
And certainly something that has been with us for a very, very long time.
For a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all good stuff. So there's the Irish Vampire Conference. When does that take place, Tim?
It's on Monday, October 28th. It's an all-day event, and we're going to be showing Francis Ford Coppola's version of Dracula, which is fairly close to the Bram Stoker novel, at 6:30 in the evening.
And then
it's all free and open to the public.
Free and open to the public, and that is at St. John Fisher College in Rochester. And then Pelham reads Frankenstein, and that goes on, I assume, for how long, Anne?
It goes through the month of October. The next event we have is at the Art Center, where there's a artist discussion of the exhibit, and there's also going to be an art making workshop. And then on the 24th, we have the author of Frankenstein's Cat is going to be speaking, and then our final event is on the 26th, and that's going to be the all-day Frankenstein Film Festival.
Oh, that's terrific. And for the mystery of the Albany mummies, as you so wonderfully put it a moment ago, Erica, all mummies all the time.
Yes, all mummies all the time. The next big event coming up is on Sunday, October 27th, when Nick Reeves will be coming up to talk about the Book of the Dead. And that's at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon and free with museum admission.
So much information. And to make it easy, I'm going to direct listeners to either go to nyhumanities.org, nyhumanities.org, or wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. And we have the links up for all these events, and you can find out more information there. Again, nyhumanities.org or wamc.org/roundtable. Erica, Tim, Anne, you guys are great. Thank you so much for sharing with us and for having such a wonderful conversation. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks a lot.
Happy Halloween.
And to you. Thank
you. Happy Halloween.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.